singing, but God has chosen, God has ordained, and God has anointed the preaching of the Word of God. You hear Brother Tom Gillum gladly.
If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our place of study in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6. We've enjoyed the good singing tonight. We've enjoyed the good presence of God. We thank the Lord for these that have come to visit with us and enjoy the service with us. We thank you for being here. We have since Sunday morning been preaching on the subject of giving. It is mentioned numerous times in the Bible in word form and also in principle. And of course, I've mentioned each service anytime a Baptist preacher mentions giving, we always grab our wallets. He's going to take an offering. And I wish that's all God wanted was my money. If that's all he wanted was my money, let me empty my pockets tonight, get my checkbooks out, let me go to the house and sell the house, sell the cars, give it all to him if that's all he wants. But I have found that's not what he wants. He wants me, all of me. And I'm coming more to the conclusion that if he can't have all of me, he don't want none of me. And so we've been preaching in these days on the subject of living in the offering plate. God is interested in us not putting our time and our treasures and our talents into his service. But he is interested in us giving ourselves totally to him. You'll never know all of him until he has all of you. And we've been looking at it from several angles. We began by looking at the three widows in their giving. We preached some thoughts on the gain of giving. There's much to be gained from giving at all. You say, preacher, what would I get tonight if I would give God all of me? Oh, I'll tell you what you'd get. You'd get all of him. Oh, I tell you what, it'd be a good swap on your end. Huh? You ain't worth that much. I know you think you are. Oh, but to get all of him tonight. Then on Sunday evening, we looked at the little lad's lunch and noticed the grace of giving. Although they doubted him at the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000 too, he just continued to grace them. Took a little bit, made much out of it. And then on last evening, we looked at Mary in that alabaster box and looked at the gratitude of giving, how that we can express ourselves in gratitude. To whom much is given, much is required, much is required. Tonight, I want to look at one verse, if we could, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. And verse number 38, if you'll notice, if you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, this is in red letters. This is not Luke's words. These are not Tom's words. These are Jesus' words. It's what he said. And I'd like to take this verse tonight and preach on the subject of the growth of giving. The growth of giving. I was wondering tonight, you know, sometimes when you go to buy a car, they've got all kind of financing deals and stuff like that. But most of the time, we just want the bottom line. You know, how much it's going to cost me every month? So I just thought maybe I'd just get this sermon out of the way and just go dead square to the bottom line. I was wondering tonight, since you say you got saved, however long that's been, you seen any growth in your giving? I mean, you seen any marked, I'm talking about radical. I'm talking about, I mean, just like an old gambler on a whim would just throw down a crazy bet. Have you seen any kind of giving like that in your life? The growth of giving. Jesus said this, verse number 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The growth of giving. I was extremely interested in that little word, give, there. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And the two words, give and given, they are the same word in the original language. The little word means to bestow, to bring forth, to commit to minister, to grant, to offer. It has the idea of offering a number of things to others. You will see immediately that the word give here is not just dealing with your money. He's dealing with you, all of you. We have mentioned each service the little thought, we are the most like God when we're giving. I hear so many people say, boy, I want to be like God. You do now. I tell you, you can't be like God and have your stuff like this. You can only be like God if you have your stuff like this. Most like God when we're given. We must be careful tonight at staying at one level in our giving. We must be careful tonight at staying at one type of giving. Some of you tonight got the foolish idea because you've given God 10%, you're a giver. I'm daresome to say that God considers a lot of you in here tonight that tithe. He considers you to be stingy. Oh, don't get stuck at one level of giving. Don't get stuck at one kind of giving. Don't think that just throwing a little something in the offering plate is the only type of giving that there is. So easy tonight to get locked in to one type or one level of giving. I remember years ago when I was pastoring, of course I know they told you, you know, if you're a preacher, you should never handle the money. And I agree with that, but I had a couple of Yahoo treasures over the years. And I just had to take the books from them. They wasn't making the deposits. The money was there. Checks were bouncing. Stupid stuff like that. Said, well, nobody to write the checks. So I took it up. And I know you ain't supposed to know if you preach or what people are giving. It bothers you when you see them out there looking like they're holy and ain't giving a dime. And it'll just eat at you after a while. But I had one old gal in the church. I'm telling you, you talking about morality in all of its glory. I mean, she had all her T's crossed, all her I's dotted. I'm telling you, a pair of pants ain't never been on that woman. Oh, great. She had all her I's dotted, all her T's crossed. I used to love to watch her tithe checks. 837, 801, 822. I mean, she just cut it right down to the penny. I'm going to tell you tonight, as moral as she was then, she is as mean as the devil tonight. She is as far from where she was then, now. I'm going to tell you something. I could write a book about the wickedness that woman's in tonight. But, oh, it just got locked in there. I was thinking about several years ago, I was preaching a meeting over here on the coast of North Carolina. Preacher, every night he made the statement. He said, we're taking a love offering for Brother Gillum, and everything that comes in the offering, we're going to give it to him, just like your preacher did. There's an old man there in the church. He's a daddy rabbit. You could tell he run the show. He had the keys to the church. He wrote the checks. I mean, he was a daddy rabbit. I won't never forget that last night. He handed my honorarium check to the preacher, and the preacher looked at it, and he said to the old man, he said, why did you write the check for that? I mean, he said it ugly. I won't never forget what the old man said. He said, that's what come in the offering. You know what he wrote that check for? $999.99. He'd have been much easier on his arm to write it for $1,000. And I know that's funny tonight. It's hilarious. But the sad thing tonight, they're sitting among us right now.
Yes, sir. You're preaching to this church.
You're sitting among us tonight. You've been locked in for years. There's been no growth in your giving. And have the audacity to talk about how much Jesus has done for you. You speak it with forked tongue. I was reminded of a good preacher friend. He was preaching several months ago over here in the Knoxville area. And he preached Sunday to Wednesday. He's in full-time evangelism. Man, it got out on Monday night. Oh, God fell on the place. Two people got saved. He didn't preach. I mean, God just blowed through there. The old deacon gave him his check Wednesday night. He told him, he said, preacher, he said, we're accustomed to giving a visiting preacher $50 each night for preaching. It'd be $250 for the revival. He said, but you didn't preach Monday night, so he said, I docked you $50. He said, the check's for $200. I'm talking about the growth of giving. Watch this text tonight as it expands. Maybe God let it rise up in our heart. We look at ourselves tonight. I'm not talking about putting your money in an offering plate. I'm talking about you putting yourself in an offering plate. Putting yourself in an offering plate. You listen to me. Don't miss this tonight. The growth in your spiritual giving will be pictured in your material giving. If you are growing spiritually, you are growing in your giving. Growing in your giving. You just can't give enough. You want to give some more. It'll be pictured in your material giving. Watch the text, verse number 38. I notice there's several principles here about the growth of giving. The first one that I would bring to our attention tonight is the sowing principle. The sowing principle. I notice in the text, this first phrase, there are sowing likes. Sowing likes. Whatever you sow, you will reap that in kind. You will reap that same thing back. Jesus said, if you give, it shall be given unto you. And it's just not in money. The psalmist David said in Psalms 18, he says, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Mercy tonight is God withholding from you and I what we deserve. When you withhold from somebody what they deserve, maybe you see somebody out on the road and they cut you off and they need a good tongue lashing when you go by. When you withhold that, God said, I'll withhold what you deserve tonight. He said, I'll send it back. Same kind. It's not just money. David said in Psalms 18, he says, with the upright, I will show myself upright. That little word upright there is sincere, to be oneself. There's some of you sitting here tonight, you know you ought to have been in this altar already this week. But you sit back there like, I am in the offering plate. You don't even know what an offering plate is. You listening to me tonight? I'm telling you tonight, if you'll be sincere before, be real in front of him. Just tell him that you are full of yourself. I loved another night in the prayer room, one of the men there in the prayer room. He just was honest with us. He told us he didn't have a clue whether he was in the altar plate or not. I like that kind of, you know, God likes that kind of stuff. He loves for us to be sincere. See, when you're real to him, David said he'll be real to you. He'll be real to you. He ain't drawn toward your piety. He ain't drawn toward all that front you putting on. You ain't blowing smoke on him. He got plenty of smoke up there. He don't need none of your smoke. Oh, no. He wants us to be real. Real. That same psalm, Psalms number 18, he says, with the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. That little word pure means to be clear and honest. That little word froward means to be clouded and distorted. God said, you be dishonest with me. You sit in a service and act like you are something that you're not. He said, I'll distort everything for you. I'll distort everything for you. See this sowing principle tonight. Jesus said it would involve sowing likes. Whatever you sow, you get back. I didn't know if I remembered to ask you or not. I don't want it to get away from me. You growed in your giving lately. You had any, I mean, you've just seen radical differences since the day you got saved and now. You look back on it and say, whoo, boy, I'll tell you what. Man, I've come a long ways in my giving. I tell you, I done got radical. Man, I done gone off the deep end of this giving stuff. Growth in your giving. Sowing likes. But I notice in the Bible, in the context of giving, not only are there sowing likes, but I notice there are sowing lessons. Sowing lessons. The Old Testament clearly teaches that a man should cut God 10% off the top. That's what the Old Testament taught. Matter of fact, Malachi said, will a man rob God? God speaks back. He said, you have robbed me, tithes and offerings. So if you don't give God 10%, he said, you stuck me up. I wonder how many of you come over here on Sunday, and when God sees you coming, you're going to rob me again. You're going to stick me up. Sowing lessons. A good preacher friend of mine, he was at church not long ago holding revival. He pulled up in the parking lot and got out of his car, hit the lock, beat the horn, your door's locked. Come on up there to the church. A bunch of the men was standing out there on the front of the steps, and some of them asked him, said, preacher, you always lock your car in a Baptist parking lot? I love what he asked him. He said, does all your people here at the church tithe? They laughed. They said, oh, Lord, no. He said, if they'll rob from God, they'll steal from me. I'm going to lock my car. You listening to me tonight? Talking about the growth of giving. You remember old Jacob? Jacob was coming back home and Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. Jacob had had that old ladder experience. Had the wrestling match with God. God told old Jacob, he said, Jacob, he said, I'm going to take care of you wherever you go. You know what old Jacob said? He got all excited. Woo, God's going to take care of me. And old Jacob told God, he said, God, I tell you what I'm going to do since you're going to take care of me. He said, I'm going to start giving you 10% of everything I got. Now, I don't know about you. I hope you're not foolish enough to think that God's excited about you tithing. You know what you're telling God? I'm going to give you a little bit and I'm going to keep most of it. I don't know about you. If I was in any kind of business transaction with somebody and they were keeping 90 and giving me 10, I'd get upset about it. I don't believe God was sitting up there in heaven that day when Jacob told him he was going to give him 10% and said, woo-hoo, woo, woo, that boy's going to keep most of it and give me a little bit of it. Woo, glory to God. No. See, that was the Old Testament principle. We come over into the New Testament principle. Christ has died now. We see he shed his blood for our sins. We see that he's given us eternal life. We see that he has graced us with all of his marvelous grace. So the New Testament principle of giving is this. He said, on the first day of week, let us lay by as God hath prospered us. Uh-oh. Do you know what the New Testament principle of giving is? We're talking about sowing lessons now. The New Testament principle is you keep a little and give most of it to God. Ruh-roh. Uh-oh. I was thinking about a dear man by the name of Letourneau. He was born and raised about 30 miles from where I live in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. He's dead now. But years ago, God saved him by his marvelous grace. He had just started a business. He was trying to get it off the ground. He come home and told his wife, he said, God has done so much for me. He said, I'm going to give him 90% of everything we make and I'm going to keep 10. I know she must have been excited, don't you? I can see her now, don't you? Woo! He's going to give everything away. He's going to keep a little bit. They tell me that when Letourneau died, they could not count the money out of the 10% that he had kept. He had so much money, it could not be calculated. I'm not talking about the 90 he gave away. I'm talking about the 10 he kept. Grace, it keeps slipping my mind, and I don't want you to forget it. Have I asked you yet, have you seen any growth in your giving lately? Any change in it? Or are you just locked in to that one little state, that one little level? Or have you tried some other forms of giving tonight? I'm talking about the sowing principle. Go further in our text tonight. Notice not only the sowing principle, but could I mention from this little verse, there is a spacious principle. Spacious principle. Once you start giving, I mean, you get radical in your giving. You change in your giving. You grow in your giving. You begin to release heaven to give to you. And it is in this text that our Lord tells us what kind of giving he gives back. And he mentions it in a spacious principle. I use that little word spacious because it fits the bill so much. Webster's defines the little word spacious as to widen, to deepen. It has the idea to be brought into a large place. I would imagine that there's a number of you here in this building tonight. As far as your finances are concerned, you're more like this than like this in a large place. Talking about the spacious principle. Talking about what God will give back. Give shall be given unto you. Notice in this text he mentions a spacious amount. Spacious amount. The text says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure. That's an interesting phrase there. The little word measure is a degree or a portion. The giving now. You have given to God. What can I expect back? God says my giving back to you would be in good measure. The little word measure is a degree or a portion. I'm extremely interested in that little word, good. Good portion. Good measurement. That little word, good, there is beautiful, valuable, distinguishable, to clearly stand out. God said, when I give it back to you, it'll be clear, it'll stand out. God has sent this back. I didn't know, I forgot to ask you maybe, you seen any growth? I mean, now you've had time, now we've been in this message now for about 15 minutes. Have you had time to walk back down memory lane? Since that day you say you got what you got. You say, oh, Jesus died for me, boy, he shed his blood for all my sin. Woo, I'm going to heaven when I die. You think God's excited about you keeping the most of it, giving him a little of it after all he's done for you? Don't you think that's why you're in the shape you're in? Talking about a spacious amount. Watch the text. He says not only will it be in good measure, but he says that it will be running over. Running over. That little phrase has the idea to pour out, over, overflow, over, beyond, above, more than is needed, exceedingly, more higher than is appropriated. I hear Baptists today shouting about making ends meet. Woo, man, God, let us make ends meet this month. And make yourself a note, God didn't come by. Oh, no. God comes by, he'll blow the ends past one another, leave you shaking your head. God will never list, just send you enough. God will always send you more than enough if he comes by. So what's wrong with us now? We're excited about getting just enough. God ain't into getting enough business. Oh, no. He says if he comes by, it'll be running over. It'll be running over. Spacious amount. I'm extremely interested in that little phrase, press down. Boy, this little phrase eat at me. The little word, as I studied it in the original language, has the idea to cram full. To cram full. But as I studied the word leaves the idea you're cramming something full depending upon its capacity to take in. Cramming something full now on its capacity to take in. As I studied the word, literally it has this idea that mine and your giving is that which widens our container and our capacity to take in. Do you know how come God ain't sending you no more than you're getting? I can tell you why he's not. you have no capacity to take it in. The only way you can widen your capacity to take it in is to give. Is to give. Is to give. I was thinking about that dear lady that we pastored years ago. When I first was pastoring her, she was very crippled. She became homebound and then bedbound. But she was bent over at the waist with arthritis. She had a big hump in her back. I used to hate to go over to her house. Every time I'd go over there, she'd want to give me a 5 or a 10. Now, she's living in government housing. She's on a fixed income. She's always got to give me a 5 or a 10 every time I go over there. And the house always smelled like WD-40. What? Smelled like WD-40. That's what she sprayed on her joints. She felt like it had helped her in her arthritis and stuff. So she would spray that WD-40, but she'd always want to give me a 5 or 10. And I'd always tell her, Miss Owen, don't give me that money on fixed income. You don't need to give me that money. And without exception, she always made the same statement. And I believe she believed with all her heart. She said, preacher. She said, I can't get no more than I give this a God away. What in the world was she doing? She was widening her capacity. That's how come you ain't getting no more in. You ain't widening your capacity. God ain't going to send you no more in. You can't take it. See, you got a little capacity. Oh, he says he can send it in spacious amount. But I notice in this text, not only do we see that it is in a spacious amount. Fix that real quick, brother. Drive me crazy. So kind, so kind. But there is a spacious activity, a spacious activity. That little phrase has always concerned me, shaken together, shaken together. The little word literally means to agitate. It has the idea to rock to a point of toppling. The little word means a billowing wave that wipes out everything in its path. What would God want to stick that in a giving passage for? What's he going to do? Take my giving and shake it? Oh no. What does he want to stick that in there for? This is a term that is always used in a time of violent trouble. Violent trouble. Oh, I tell you what he's telling us, friend. He says, for the one tonight that will get in the offering plate, he says, I have got the ability to take the worst of your situations and bring good out of them. He says, I can take somebody that's got a checkbook tonight that's saying, don't write no more checks out of this book, and load it up for them if they'll get in the offering plate. Shaken together. Oh, he says, I've got the ability tonight to bring beauty out of ashes. He says, I've got the ability tonight to make a crooked places straight. He says, I've got the ability tonight to make ugly pretty. He says, I've got the ability tonight to take mountains and flatten them before you tonight and let you walk on tonight. I tell you something else, he has the ability tonight to give you back all that the locust of your foolish living has eaten up over your life if you'll get in the offering plate. I'm talking about the sowing principle, the spacious principle. But could I mention this last little thought tonight, this text? I keep forgetting to ask you. Meant to ask you a little while ago, and it keeps slipping my mind. Have I asked you yet, has there been any growth in your giving? I'm talking about radical. I'm not talking about that 10% stuff. Oh, preacher, I'm a tither. Did you know that that tithing stuff you doing is making God madder rather than happier? Listen. That you keeping most of it and giving Him a little. That's not exciting Him at all, since that He has died on Calvary now. And His blood has taken away your sins. I want to mention this last little principle tonight, not only the sowing principle, the spacious principle, but I want to mention the sovereign principle tonight. Sovereign principle. I notice this sovereign principle would involve a sovereign mystery. Watch the text. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Preacher, how will God give back to me if I was to begin to work towards giving Him most and keeping a little? He says here in our text, he said, men shall men give into your bosom. He said, I'll sovereignly and mysteriously have men come along and put it in your pocket. You listening to me? Several years ago, God dealt with me about quitting tithing. What? You don't tithe? Oh, no, ma'am, I hadn't tithed in years. I quit a long time ago. God came to me. And he told me, he said, I want 15% right off the top. I said, okay, I can't afford it. You say so, I'll do it. And he says, I want you to do something else. He said, every time I impress you, he says, I want you to increase it 1%. He said, I want you to move towards giving me most of what you have come in and you live on a little bit. I'll not tell you where God's at now. But he didn't stop at 15%. He way down the road. I don't know where he's headed, but I'm a walking with him, and I'm an enjoying the trip. Talking about sovereign mystery now. In that type of giving, there will be the giving end. You can get in on mysterious giving. And you can sovereignly get in on mysteriously receiving. I tell you, since I began by the impression of the Holy Ghost to give God most of it and keep a little bit, why, gracious, I've had 7 cars given to me. I tell you, it scared me to death in June. I ain't never had this happen before. Inside of a few weeks, I had 2 people give me a car. I never have had 2 given to me. They've always been, you know, once I'd wear one out, God brings somebody else along. Different people give me a different car. But somebody give me a brand new Lincoln. It only had 20,000 miles on it. And then a few weeks later, somebody give me a van. It scared me to death. Have I asked you yet, you seen any major changes in your giving? I'm talking about a sovereign mystery. You know, I had been convinced years ago that God was not locked in to what I could make in order to take care of me. Can I run that by you again real slow? You know, I want to talk Georgia talk so you can understand. You know, real slow. I realize that God was not locked in to what I could make in order to take care of me. He could have people put it in my pocket if I would start out towards giving Him the most, keeping a little bit of it. I can remember over the years, I can remember one time while pastoring a little church there in Athens, I worked for a bug company. I sprayed houses, go around the perimeter of the house and spray them. Once a month, I sprayed 300 apartments. Used to take the boys with me. When they was out of school, they'd go over there and walk with me. I remember one day my oldest boy, it's hot summertime. He said, Daddy, he said, man, I need a drink. I said, I'm so thirsty. I said, son, I said, I hate to tell you. I said, but Daddy's broke. I got a dime to my name. I said, I don't have no money, zero. He said, you don't even have 35 cents? I said, nope, I'm broke. That's what the drinks were in those days, 35 cents. I kid you not, we stand at the top of the steps when he made that statement. We had sprayed the last apartment. We come down the steps, laying right at the bottom of the steps was a quarter and a dime. I saw his little old eyes get as big as saucers. I said, I wonder who put that there. You ever had anything like that? You ever had stuff like that happen to you? I'm talking about sovereign mysteries of God's giving. I'm not talking about just on the receiving end, but how about on the giving end? I was at Walmart not long ago. There was a black lady in front of me. Oh, she had the belt full of groceries. She had the buggy. It was full of groceries. I could tell it was for kids. It was lunch stuff and stuff like that. And I noticed she didn't have food stamps. She had money in her hand. And she kept asking the ladies to subtotal it, and she would go through the money. Finally, I realized she had more groceries than she had money. You could see it on her face. I've done that before. You ever gone through the... It's so embarrassing, ain't it? You know what God punched me and told me to do? He said, pay for the excess. What? Pay for groceries. I told the lady, I said, ring it all up, I'll pay for it. I live to be 100, I'll never forget what that black woman did. She turned at me and looked at me, and I made the statement. I said, God's been good to me. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, you knows him. I said, yes, ma'am, I knows him. She said, Lord, have mercy. She said, I knows him too. Lord God, she got me in a bear hug. Here I'm in Walmart, and we're dancing with a black woman in the line. How come? Sovereign mystery, being on the giving end of giving. Oh, I could tell story after story after story tonight. God's sovereign, mysterious ability to put money in your pockets. I remember one night being over in Pigeon Forge. I was sitting on the front row. I wasn't preaching the meeting. I just went. I had a $10 bill in my pocket. I was driving an 85 Cadillac. And I knew that $10, and you know it's been a good while ago, I know that $10 would get me enough gas to get me home. And they would take an offering. And you say, God speak to you audibly. No, he didn't speak to me audibly. I didn't hear him here, but he's so loud down here, I thought I heard him up here. He said, I want you $10. I said, what? I said, God, that 85 Cadillac's on empty. I can't get home if I give us $10. I didn't have no credit cards, debit cards. God said, I want the $10. Man, I wrestled with him the whole time they was taking the offering. I waited until they come back to the front before I finally give it. Man, that service was over. I was going out the door. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had gotten almost all the way out the front door when I heard the preacher holler at me, Brother Gillum, don't leave. I want to see you. I said, what in the world does he want with me? He said, God spoke to me during the service and told me to give you this. It's a $100 bill. Gracious. Putting something in an offering plate, pay 100% in an hour. You couldn't get a 401(z) to do that. Huh? Do you think if I had to put my $10 in there, I'd have got his $100? Mm-mm. I don't believe it with all my heart. I'm talking about the sovereign mysteries of giving tonight. Could you possibly tonight give God too much? I was wondering tonight, have you seen any growth in your giving? Has there been a radical change in it? Is that where you're headed tonight? You'd like to get to the place where you give God most of it. You keep a little bit of it. I remember several years ago, I'm just about done. I'm just talking out of my heart. I had had surgery. I couldn't go out. I'd cancel some meetings. Of course, if you don't go out, you don't get paid. I was there at the house. And it was Christmas time. I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, you know, I wish we had some money. I said, I wouldn't mind at least giving her mom and dad's passed away. I said, I don't get in a big thing, you know, but I wouldn't mind giving my mom and dad something for Christmas. But I don't know if you ever had one of them checkbooks that said, don't write no checks out of this book. I had one of them checkbooks in. Don't write no checks out of this book. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go down to the post office, and I'm going to check the mail. I said, if there's any money in there, I said, I'm going to go across town to Red Lobster, and I'm going to get some Red Lobster coupons, send them to Daddy and Mama for Christmas. They love to eat at Red Lobster. So I went to the post office, and there was one card in there. It was always in there. It was a Christmas card. I noticed the return address. It was from a girl that lived with us years ago. She was a student at University of Georgia. And we let her live there with us for a couple of years so she wouldn't have to live in the dorms. I don't think I'd ever heard from her before. She's got grown kids. I ain't never heard from her since. It was a Christmas card. I opened up the Christmas card. What you reckon was in there? I know you think there's money in there. It won't. Red Lobster coupons. God doesn't even want me to travel across town. He don't want me getting into all that stuff and having to go clear across town and get the Red Lobster coupons. He told her several days ago to get the Red Lobster coupons and send them to me. I'm talking about the sovereign mysteries of giving. God's ability to put it back into your bosom. Last of all, we're talking about a sovereign principle now. Watch the text. There is a sovereign measurement. Sovereign measurement. Look at the last part of verse 38. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God said, when I get ready to bless you, I'm going to call for your measuring stick. He says, I want to measure equally. Whatever how you're giving, he says, I want to use the same measurement when I get ready to bless you. So, maybe you're here tonight and you're a teaspoon giver. You know, I'm on a fixed income. We really got some real pressing things on us. That's no problem, huh? When God gets ready to bless you, he's just going to say, bring me your teaspoon. I want to bless you. Maybe you're here tonight, you're a tither. Oh, I just like to cut it right. Oh, no, don't get too much. Oh, no, don't get too much. Got to cut it right there, that 10%. That's what God's going to do when he gets ready to bless you. Bring me that tithing stick. Don't send them too much. No, hold it right there. Don't send them too much. Just send them a little bit. Don't send them a bunch. I don't know about you, but I testify for you. I want to get in that wash tub stuff. He gets ready to bless me. He get him a wash tub. Just, shh. I didn't know if I'd asked you or not. Have I asked you yet? You seen any growth in your giving? I'm talking about radical growth in your giving. I want to close tonight making a statement. It's a deep statement. I hate to close a message with a deep thought. I'm afraid it'll be over your head. It's just a simple statement. Here it is tonight. I'm glad God isn't a tither. I'm glad tonight God is not a tither. I tell you what kind of giver he is. Paul told us in Romans, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm glad tonight God is not a tither. Have I asked you yet? Been any growth? Radical growth, radical changes in your giving tonight. Do you realize tonight what would happen if the men of this church would just begin to increase their giving 1% every month? Do you realize the missionaries? You would not be able to put the missionaries on the board in this building. And I'll tell you something else will happen. You will get financially free. You will get out of debt. You will not have things pressing upon you. Talking about the growth tonight of giving. Father, we thank you tonight for putting this little verse in the Bible. Give and it shall be given unto you. Lord, this verse has arrested my soul again. Even tonight while I was preaching. Lord, I could never even hope to match your giving. But Lord, you've put it in my heart to strive and to press towards giving you most and keeping but a little. Lord, as I have stepped out on this venture, you have mind-boggled me with your ability to put it back into my bosom. I thank you for that tonight. Lord, if but one in this crowd would get in the offering plate and desire tonight to grow in their giving, preaching of this message would have been worth it all. Have thine own way now in the close of this service. We'll give you the glory. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Not going to play you no music tonight. Not going to twist your arm. Not going to try to soften you up. But as you examine your own heart tonight, your own life, you see tonight maybe that you've been saved for years.